The year was 1978, and I was at church, at this church, sitting over here just to my right. And by the way, that used to be where the young people would sit back in the days where we had our benches. Gotta love the chairs, believe me. They're a whole lot more giving and forgiving than the old benches. Reverend Bob Manderson was the speaker, and as he preached, God started convicting my heart. And at the end of the service, there was an invitation that was given. And I came forward, and there was another gentleman that I'd never seen before who also came forward. We were led to the pastor's study, which is now my office, and there we sat down. As the pastor and Reverend Manderson addressed me, it was a topic of authority that I needed to get right with my life. I'd only been a believer for about a year, and God was teaching me a lot about his word. And we dealt with my issue, and then we all turned to the gentleman. He was about 60 years of age, and it turned out that 30 years before this time, he was called to ministry and never obeyed the call of the Lord. So the pastors asked if he would like to now submit to that. And I'm sad to say that he still didn't submit to the call of the Lord, and he left. As you're turning with me to Luke chapter 20, I have an important question to ask you today. And this is really a very important question. What are you to do about God's authority? What are you in particular to do with God's authority? I'll read to you from Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?" But he answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Join me in prayer, please. Father, I thank you that you are the God of all authority. You've created all things. They are designed for your good pleasure. And Father, we as your creation are to submit to you in all things. And Lord, we know the condition of this fallen world. We're not unaware of the rebellion in this world. And Father, even some of the personal rebellion that we've had towards you in the past. So Father, today, would you minister to each heart? Would you address us personally through your word about our hearts and its condition before you? Father, I pray that you would affect great change today that would impact individuals' lives, that would make a lasting mark for generations to come. Guide us by your spirit in our study, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 1, we're introduced to the chief priest, to the scribes and the elders. Well, we've recently seen them, if you remember, back in chapter 19. And look at verse 47, 19:47 of Luke. And he was teaching, and the word was, in perfect tense, continually teaching in the past. Notice, and it was done daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought, they kept on seeking to destroy him. In essence, as Jesus was continually teaching, they were continually seeking how to take him down. Now, they ask two questions, and now you know by the background that it's with the intent to remove him, to take him from a prominent role in Israel, because they're very jealous of the Lord Jesus Christ. First question is this, found in verse 2. By what authority are you doing these things? Their question implies, what credentials do you have? You remember that Jesus had just recently gone into the temple, and he drove out all those who bought and sold. So they are asking, by their question, essentially, who are you? Who gave you this authority to cleanse the temple? You're just a rogue. And by the way, you're a rabbi, and you're a self-appointed rabbi. No one gave you the authority to do these things. You are operating under your own authority. Those are the implications to their first question. And then there's a second question asked. Or who is he who gave you this authority? Well, let us turn to John chapter 5. Just go forward a bit. John chapter 5, and let's see about the authority that gave Jesus permission to do what he was doing. John chapter 5, and come now with me, please, to verse 16. John chapter 5, verse 16. John writes, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. He had given the ability of a man who could not walk for 38 years that ability. As a result, since he had done it on the Sabbath day, they didn't like it, so they decided they're going to try to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Now, did you notice that? My Father has been working, and I've been working. Who's he making himself out to be? Son of God. Verse 18, therefore, literally in the Greek it says, therefore, for this reason. Therefore, for this reason, the Jews sought, and they kept on seeking, all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself, give me the word there, equal with God. Same expression used in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, that Jesus made himself equal with God, not making himself a reputation. They understand who he is claiming to be. Verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So in other words, the Son is getting his instruction from the Father. It's his authority I'm operating under. Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. So who is the Son operating under? The Father. Now, there are going to be numerous witnesses to this. Let's continue in John chapter 5. Come down to verse 31, please. John 5, verse 31. Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. You remember Deuteronomy 19:15? That before you can convict someone of an offense, you had to have two or three witnesses. This is what Jesus is referring to. And then in verse 32, he says, there is another, and by the way, the Greek word here is from allos, another of the same kind. So when he is saying there is another who bears witness of me, the other is like him. In other words, his dad and he are equally God. Kind of interesting here. And I know that the witness which he witnesses, continually witnesses of me, is true. 33. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet if I do not receive testimony from men, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. John came. gave witness to Jesus Christ. Basically, he drew attention away from himself. He said, Jesus must increase and I decrease. John chapter 3 and verse 30. But John gave witness to the authority of Jesus Christ, that he received his authority from God. Now we have another witness, the very works of Jesus. Look at verse 36. And by the way, don't these witnesses work for you? Do you believe the words of John? Absolutely. And now can we believe Jesus' own works? Verse 36. Jesus says, but I have. And the I here is emphatic. He's given attention to himself. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. How could you deny Jesus? He gave sight to the blind. He had just healed a lame man. He was an individual that brought people back to life. He is all-powerful God. And his works testify to this very truth. And then you also have a continued witness of the Father. Come down to verse 37. And you're going, how many witnesses do you need? Verse 37. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent him you do not believe. In other words, you rejected me, so you don't have the Father. Verse 39. And now as you're coming down to verse 39, there's another witness. And what is that witness, everyone? The scripture, a pretty good witness. Verse 39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. The whole body of scripture points to one person, essentially, Jesus Christ. Come down, if you will, same chapter, verse 46. Jesus sort of lays him out here. He says, for if you believe Moses, and the second class condition assumes that they had not believed Moses. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. So now as you're turning back to Luke chapter 20, what did the Jewish authorities do with Jesus's authority? And the answer is, they questioned it. What should you do with God's authority? First point, don't question God's authority, honor it. Let me say that again. Don't question God's authority, honor it. Romans 13, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, let every soul. That seems like nobody's excluded from that, right? Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. To be subject means to arrange yourself under. You have a God-given mandate to arrange yourself under the authorities that God has established. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So, rebels come your way. Individuals that have gotten out from under God's authority, as Jesus is dealing with here. What do you do with such rebels? Now, let's put this into context. Children who are no longer under parents' authorities. Wives who are no longer under husbands' authorities. Husbands who are no longer under God's authorities. Getting real for you? Okay. When they come to you, what is your responsibility? Point number two. Direct rebels back to God's authority. Direct rebels back to God's authority. See, it's not unusual in rabbinic literature that when you are asked a question, that you answer the question with a question. Because did you notice that's exactly what Jesus does? Come down to verse 3. But he answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing. See, they just asked him a couple questions. Now he says, I got one question for you. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Now, you might ask the question, why does Jesus do this? When they are questioning his authority, why is it that the Lord Jesus Christ points them back to John? That's a good question, isn't it? What did they do with John's authority? They didn't honor it. Because to whom did John point? To the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the issue. That when you reject the authority that is given to you, don't expect to go to the next authority and get more insight. Don't expect that you can continue on down the road ignoring the former authorities in your life. God expects you, as he expects me, to honor all of his authorities. So what Jesus is doing here is so shrewdly and wisely pointing everyone back to John the Baptist. Because what did John do? John sees Jesus and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John came and he preached to the people, pointing them to the authority of Christ, and he was ultimately rejected. Jesus is saying, hey guys, you didn't listen to John, and now you're not listening to me. You need to go back and listen to John. You kind of getting a pattern here? Do you remember what the church of Ephesus, they had left their first love? So what does the Lord Jesus Christ do for them? Points them back to the original authority. That's what we need to do. When individuals get out from under their authorities, they need to be pointed right back to that authority. And that's what the Lord Jesus does. And let me give you another insight here. If you don't get under your authority, that when the next authority comes, you will never progress in your knowledge base and your understanding of God. The nation stopped. They didn't heed John. They're not going to develop because now they're rejecting Jesus. So sometimes when individuals are confronted with authority, and then they get out from another authority and they go to the next authority, what is it that latter authority needs to do? Point them back to the former authority. Because somewhere along the line in this life, you're going to be corrected if you don't get under your authorities. Children, get under your parents' authority. Not under your parents' authority, you go to the school system, you're not under their authority. Next thing you know, they get on the highways, they get out in life, and they're not honoring those authorities. And what happens? So somewhere along the way, somebody slaps handcuffs on them and says, enough of that, you're not under authority. Do you all see how this works? How many people do you all know here? How many people of you here today can point out maybe to your life previously or to someone you know that's out from an authority? And we all can. And stop and look at his life, look at her life, and think it through that once they got away from the message of a John the Baptist, and they move on to the next authority. See, they have to go back to the former authority. Get under the right authority, and God starts to work with those people. See, what Jesus does in verses 3 and 4, he says, I also will ask you one thing. You answer me. I love this. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? In other words, guys, you need to get back to John's authority and what he said. So very important. So very important. Let me take you back to 1978. Pastor preached. A lot of people in church that day. God convicted my heart. I didn't care how many people were here. Marched down the center aisle, went forward. Everybody knew. Boy, it was like going into the principal's office. There goes little Kenny Burge, you know, age 17, into the pastor's office. I didn't care. Because I need to get right with God. And at that point in my life, I wasn't under my parents' authority. I'd only been saved a year. I didn't really understand a lot of these Christian concepts. I confessed my sin. Why? Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with you, and listen, everybody, and that you might live long on the earth. I get caught into situations occasionally. Fight between dad and son. Walk in, and I always tell the child the same thing. Do you want to live long? Not because dad might floor you and clean your clock like you need it, but because if you're not under dad's authority, God might clean your clock. And God might say, your life is being cut short because you're not under authority. Everybody turn with me to James chapter 4, please. I was going to quote it for you, but I think you need to turn here. James chapter 4. Find a book of Hebrews. Go over to James chapter 4, and then let your eyes come down to verse 7. James 4, 7. James is the greatest counselor ever because he identifies your problem, he tells you what it is, and he says, now go fix it. He doesn't need 20 sessions. He doesn't need $50 a half an hour. He's going to tell it to you, and you got to get it right. There are a series of imperatives, commands, if you will, in James chapter 4, and he just lays out the people. It's what we call nouthetic counseling. Confrontive counseling. Nouthenteo is the Greek verb, which means I warn. It's used often in the New Testament. Why? Because the New Testament gives us a lot of warnings. Look at James 4, 7, and you need to stop, and you need to start looking at your own life and asking yourself, am I under God's authority? Am I under his authority? It's James 4, 7. Therefore, here's the command, submit to God. Submit, Greek verb again, hupotasso. Arrange yourself under God's authority. Submit to God, then you resist the devil. See, when he comes after you, you can push back. Why? You're under God's authority. And what does he do? We're talking about the most powerful entity in the universe, probably outside of God. He flees from you. See, it's like an umbrella. Raining outside, the umbrella goes up. What does it do? Protects you from the elements. When you are under God's authority, it's like you're under his umbrella of protection. Satan is well organized. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. It's a spiritual mafia. Satan wants to hit you. He wants to get you off the beaten path so that you no longer submit to God. And then once you get out, if you will, from under the umbrella of God's authority, he has you right where he wants you to be. I don't know if we understand this, friend. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Corinthians were a very loose church. There was incest that a member of the church had with an outside person. And the Corinthian church did nothing about it. Paul says, I'm not there, but because I carry the authority of Christ, this is what you do. You take the unrepentant brother and put him outside of the church, essentially, to Satan's domain. Out from under the umbrella of God's protection to Satan. Do we understand the importance of submitting to God, resisting the devil, and then watching him flee from us? Think about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, how do you lose the Son of God? Joseph and Mary did. Luke chapter 2, they're going from Nazareth down to Jerusalem. It's Passover, about a 64-mile trip. They would usually caravan. Came down, probably a large group of them, time to return. Joseph thinks Jesus, age 12, is with Mary and her peeps, vice versa. They start heading back, and guess what? We lost Jesus. It's a bad day when you lose Jesus. So they go back. It takes them 3 days to find Jesus. Where's he at? He's in the temple. He's in the midst of the rabbis, and he's being asked questions, and he's asking them questions. I don't know about you. That's one 12-year-old pupil. I don't want to sit there when I'm teaching Revelation asking me questions. I don't know. You're the word. Why don't you tell me, right? You get the idea? And the mom says, and I imagine she was beside herself. Son, where you been? He says, don't you know I must be about my father's business? But then in Luke 2:51, it says that Jesus submitted himself to them. The sinless Son of God arranges himself under his parents, earthly parents' authority. And he continued to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. You starting to see how this works? How'd you do today with your driving? Our roads get more and more challenging all the time, don't they? You get on the road, if you even are intending to do the speed limit, you've got people and what, they're on your bumper. People blowing a horn at you. You know, you got to put your sunglasses on because sometimes they make those gestures that just aren't very friendly. And yet we're commanded in 1 Peter 2 in verse 13, submit yourself, same Greek word, submit yourself to every ordinance of man. 25-mile-an-hour speed limit, guess what it means? 25 miles an hour. I know, you're getting it. Stop sign doesn't mean roll through stop sign because I don't see a policeman around. It means stop. We are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. And when we arrange ourselves under the governmental authorities, we're really arranging ourselves unto God. Because he's the one who has established the authority base. 1 Peter chapter 5. You're saying, Pastor, you're meddling. I know. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter writes to his fellow elders, pastors, and then he makes a transition down in verse 5, 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, you younger people, here's the command. Submit, arrange yourself under your elders, that's your pastors. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. The verb there for clothe has the idea of taking and wrapping your garment around into a knot because that was what the slaves looked like. It speaks of the apron of a slave. In other words, you are to put off your pride. You are to arrange yourself under the authorities at home, with the government, and in the church. That is what Peter is teaching here. Be clothed with humility, and here's the reason why. For God resists the proud. Want to be your own boss? Want to be your own authority? Want to be the Lone Ranger? Then it says God is pushing you back. I know one thing, I don't want to be pushed back from God. God resists the proud, but gives grace to whom? The humble. Those who understand God's authority structure and arrange themselves under it. God gives favor to those people. Now come down here to verse 6, 1 Peter 5. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You got the connection? If you submit to your elders, you're really submitting to the Lord. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, as you're turning back for our final point, Luke chapter 20, let me ask you this question. What is the outcome for those who continue to shun God's authority? In essence, John the Baptist comes your way, says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus comes your way, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And on both occasions, you go, nah, I'm my own boss. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to follow my own heart, which makes you a fool, according to Proverbs 28:26. What happens? Point number three. Disregarding God's authority leads to spiritual blindness. Disregarding God's authority leads to spiritual blindness. Notice Jesus says, okay, tell me about John. Where did he get his authority from? From heaven or from men? So they start to work it out. I love the reasoning here. Look here at verses 6 and 7. But if we say from men, see, after they say, well, he will say, why then did you not believe if they say it's from God? Verse 6, but if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. So then what do? They lie. So they answered that they did not know where it was from. Is that true? No. They knew. They knew that John came with the authority of God. And they blew him off. And now they're trying to do the same with the Son. They're trying to silence him. So what does Jesus say? Verse 8. Neither will I tell, and by the way, that's emphatic in the Greek. I'm not going to tell you guys. Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. He didn't answer them. He says, you've got two questions. You won't submit to my former authority. You won't submit to my authority. I'm not telling you. And we're wondering why we've got a generation of people who even say, I'm a Christian. And they're spiritually as dumb as doornails. And you say, why? They've rejected the authorities. God had given us parents. Doesn't matter, saved or not, children, obey your parents, hear under your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and your father, which is the first commandment with promise that it might be well with you and that you might live long on the earth. And we just push back. Parents bring us to church, we hear pastor preach, hear the Sunday school teacher teach. But yet all my friends, this is what they're doing. And all of them out there don't think much of their authorities, their parents, so I'm not going to think much about you. Right? And it goes on and on and on. And you start to look at a generation of Christians and they're just one great big non-discerning lie. Why? Because Jesus stopped teaching them wisdom. Because they've ignored his authority. So I ask you this morning, once again, what are you personally doing with God's authority? And we learn, number one, we don't question God's authority. We honor it. He's the potter. You're the clay. He created you, he's designed you with a purpose in mind, and wisdom says it's easier to saw with the grain than against it. So if God has created us, he's put us in a certain place in life, don't you think he knows what he's doing? So when we are confronted with authority and what to do with it, don't question God's authority, honor it. And for those of you who are working with rebels, Jesus was, the whole nation, they didn't listen to John. Now the religious leaders don't want to listen to him. What do? You point them back to God's authority. I tell young people, you need to get back under your parents' authority. I talk to folks old enough to drive, old enough to be out under other authorities, whether it's a boss, whether it's on the highway to drive, whatever the case might be, and say you need to get under those authorities. You need to point people back to God's authority. Because, see, the outcome, if people rebel against God's authority, they will experience spiritual blindness. Jesus never answered the authorities. Why? Because they would not submit to the authorities. So they walked around in ignorance. And aren't you a little tired? Come on. Aren't you a little tired of the child, the grandchild, the son, the daughter? Aren't you a little bit tired of how many people who call themselves Christians and yet don't seem to have a clue about life? We got to point them back to God's authority. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to be out from under God's authority. And even as a 17-year-old, walking the aisle in front of the entire church, I knew one thing: God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Going into the pastor's study and knowing that God had corrected me, that I needed to get under my authorities, was one of the greatest things I learned. Because as I went through life, and as I sought to get under any authority that God had given to me, because ultimately it was honoring his authority, God protects you. God puts you on a path of blessing. God keeps you in the spiritual loop so you continue to get wisdom and insight to living. And I'm just telling you by experience, there are reams of folks I know and love dearly who just wouldn't get under the authority, who now should be so wise. They should be so mature. They should be such a place of wisdom. And they've gone from decade to decade to decade in spiritual blindness and obtuseness because they just wouldn't humble themselves under God's authority. Remember when Jesus conquers death and he says, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. You therefore, my disciples, you go. You make disciples of all the nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You teach them to observe not some things, but all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Can I ask you, even with the Great Commission, are you under Jesus' authority? Are you making disciples? I want to tell you all something. This might shock you. This might rock your little world. Your jobs, your status, your money, size of your home, blah, 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 when it's all said and done, isn't going to mean. What is going to last is what you have done for Jesus Christ. Paul says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And he tells the Corinthians, and I love this, "I'm sending to you Timothy. He's my spiritual child who's going to remind you of my ways." That's awesome. Paul lived his life in such a way that he led people to Christ. He trained them. And he says, "When I dispatch them, they will remind you of me because I remind you of Christ." Are we all about making disciples? And it goes two ways. Number one, you need to make sure that you're under authority being trained and doing whatever it takes to be a learner. Then number two, once you are under that authority and you are being trained, then you need to disciple others. That's what we're called to do. Have you been baptized in obedience to Christ? Are you going to the lost as we are commanded to do? Are you teaching others? I mean, not the stupidity of the world, not pointing people to Oprah, but are you pointing people to the authoritative Word of God and teaching them how to live? Are you part of this great commission? Are you submissive to your governmental officials? Let every soul. And you know, here's our problem today. We all like to think we're an exception. We all would like to think that for some reason we don't have to do this. Everybody else needs to serve. Everybody else needs it, not us. I'm special. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Have you arranged yourself under the right authorities? And then young people, are you under your parents' authority? So very important that children need to learn under their parents, because guess what? One day they'll be parents and they're going to want their children to listen to them. No greater way than to be under authority and start to model so that there is a line of communication that is going from generation to generation. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes.